talk to you today about the subject of the weaver girls. I'm going to stand out for two reasons. One is to keep me on track, and the other is to let you know that I'm headed somewhere, okay? So if I take a ride to get back on it, type things. So we're going to go along with this handout, and I want you to follow me. I want you to follow the thought that I have. I want to give you the thought about the weave of your marriage. You see, we cannot fix the man next door. We cannot. Have you ever tried to fix the man? Well, I've done a few things, you know. He admits my fault. He gets to speak more than I do. I'm like, you quit admitting my fault, you know. But the truth is, I do. You know, I do want him to keep his heart going and all the things that he's referred to. But they look at it so different than us. But I can't fix him. I can only fix me. And oftentimes, we don't want to see the fact that we need the fixing. But usually, if we fix ourselves, then it will begin to happen and progression will happen. So I want to talk about that with you today. Anybody ever been to Hawaii? Have you been to Hawaii? And have you ever seen, and it can happen probably at maybe a village or somewhere. We take our children, we took our children on, but for the wedding gift, we gave them a trip 1 year after they were married with us, because then they were poor and they wanted to be with us, you know what I'm saying? So, Tim and Laura chose Hawaii, and Colton Cole actually chose England because they were given a trip to Hawaii for the honeymoon, and Chris and George chose Hawaii. And you know, while we were there, it's an interesting thing. And oh, by the way, you can do all that with Sky Miles and points, hotel points. So, don't ask me how to do it. He's the man with the plan over there, but it's good stuff. When you plan ahead and save all that. But something happened there that was the most intriguing thing to me. The poorest people took what God made, trees of leaves on them, and they would weave the most perfect basket. And they would sell it for good American money. They went to their work site in the morning with nothing. They didn't have any woolen thread. They didn't have a starter kit. They didn't have a hot glue gun or even super glue. You know what they had? The skill of a great weaver. But you know what? They didn't start out with a great weaver. I saw this one that I wanted. My husband said, oh, we'll get our rainforest, I'll get it for you. Guess what? He was not there when we got our rainforest. Now I've been told him to get Tim for a few years. Then I finally got one. Then I didn't see her make this particular one, but got a basket, green, and it dried out, and it dried in that mold. No needle, no thread, but the weave. So today, I want to talk to you about the weave of your marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 33. I'm just going to quickly go through these verses and show you a progression of how we get to that weave, and then we'll move to your handout in just a minute. Ephesians 5:18 talks about being filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And this progression tells you that if we will do that, look where it's headed. Verse 20 talks about giving thanks. And 21 talks about submitting yourself to one another in the fear of God. Verse 22 gets to wives submitting to our own husbands. That picture you've heard many times. I've heard it said, you know, it looks like it's so easy. Your pastor asks you to do something. Oh, yes, sir. And your husband asks you to do something. Like, I really don't have time today. And God said to your own husband, submit. So this progression is going down to where we're headed and how we are subject to that the church is subject to Christ. And then husbands that love their wives. And then verse 27 is talking about having a glorious church, and it's still talking about how men are to love the wife. And then verse 31 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined into his wife, that's cleaving, and they too shall be one flesh. That one flesh is the weave. The one flesh weave began when we were married, that wedding day. If you know what, it progresses into a better weave, just like the man that was weaving the basket. The first one he made was like, oh, that didn't turn out in the right place. But he began to realize that he's going to make better money when the weave of the basket is beautiful and right and just as perfect. And then verse 32 says, oh, this is a great mystery. Of course, we're talking about Christ in the church. And then it just goes right on down where we want to talk about our weave. You see, we want that weave to be as perfect as it can be on this earth. Now, I want to refer, we'll begin our handout here. I want to take that weave and take it into being a wise woman. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. Now, what do you picture when you pluck? Do you picture just someone just tearing up something? Have you ever seen a child just destroy a playroom? I was a 3-year-old granddaughter. She was actually not quite 3 yet when this happened. And you know, they try to play, but you know what they do? They tear up things. They try, and Sailor Jane looked at me and she said, Nana, I broke the playhouse. And she did. What she meant was everything that Riley and Aubrey had set up, she had destroyed. Now I have two that are 3, Sayla and Brayla. And when you put those two together, they destroy everything that the two older girls set up. Why do they do that? Because they are not ready yet. They're still building and learning how to play. That's why they're wrong for them. The American girl and the older are not going to be wrong. Why? Because they're just going to destroy. They don't know how.
And a woman is like that in the beginning. We're not wise, but if we're working at being wise in our marriage, then God is going to bless that. So I want to talk to you about some things today to help us to not pluck down the very thing that we want. You know, as a woman, I picture that American dream, and you know, it's that perfect marriage that you get married and you've always dreamed about, and you've got the perfect husband and the 2 kids and the dog and the white picket fence, and everything is just perfect. And we come in and we live happily ever after. I use that phrase with every time I read a book with the grandkids. I call them my cute kids. So you see that in the book. It's just happened one day and I don't have time to chase rabbits. But, you know, as I read a book, I'll read. And they lived happily ever after. And then I say, the end. Because there's 4 boys, you know, 4 girls, 4 boys, and 2 different worlds. Well, that's what we're mixing together in this weave. 2 different worlds to make that perfect weave. So number 1, appreciate his desire to protect and provide for you. Appreciate his desire. In Genesis 2:15, God talks about he put the man in the garden to dress it and to keep it. He gave Adam a job. And that job, including taking care of his woman and expressing what he loves to do. See, God made Adam to work. And if you've got a man that works, thank God for that. You say, well, he works too many hours. Well, at least he's not sitting on the couch doing nothing. There's a lot of men in this world who don't truly work. Now, I'm not condoning if he works too many hours or he doesn't provide for you properly, but you're here, and that means he wants to work at it in some small fashion, at least. And so appreciate that desire. Express your trust in your husband concerning his chosen field of work. You say, well, that's all he wants to talk about. Well, maybe if you will express your desire to hear about it, then he won't be telling someone else sometimes. See, we live in totally different worlds. Now, I work alongside my husband. I'm my husband's secretary. So if you want to wonder how that is, sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not good, you know? And sometimes that not good means that when we get rid of all the people, we get the work done, you know? And I'm like, you're taking advantage that your wife's your secretary. And he said, yep, pretty much. and on we go, you know? But we have to express that interest in his chosen field of work. Realize your vulnerabilities and value his protection. Have you ever said thank you for working? He said, well, I tried it and he didn't say anything. Well, he was in shock. Express that. Thank him for working. Thank you for, my husband is allowing me to do some things upstairs in our bonus area to expand our playroom. I'm taking the closets. We had the bonus room, you know how it's unfinished sometime, and when you buy a house, and years ago, a man in our church came in and finished it out for us, and so there's two storage areas and a closet, and I just cleaned out the closet that I used for gifts and things like that, and I made it into the cutest little dress-up room, and it's just, and he said, you're doing all this for the kids? And I said, no, look at it as I'm doing it. You're spending the money for me. You know, I'm living my dream world. I'm about to take this one little area, and I'm cleaning out, because we have a lot of junk, you know what I'm saying? Clean it out, and I'm going to make it this cute little play place in there, and it's got the little slanted. I'm just so excited about it, and I need to thank him for, I'm going to do it as much on a dime as possible. I'm not saying top dollar, but there's little things we can do so that we can just expand that area and make it the dream world. And it's all exciting to me because I spend a lot of time with the grandkids there. And it's just the perfect little world for me. And realize and say thank you for what he does for you. Oftentimes we nag instead of truly saying thank you. I read an illustration of a woman, of a couple who was visiting another couple, and they went into their house and they're looking at the beautiful house that had been built. And about halfway through the tour, maybe just literally out of trying to make that couple feel good about their house, she leaned over to her husband, punched, and said, hey, hon, you need to get a second job. So they could do that. And the couple that owned the house, the new house, said that they watched his face just drop. Because to him, she said, you don't provide for me like this man has provided for his wife. Which really isn't true. So we need to watch and realize that he has certain things that he needs to do. And we were in the airport not long ago, traveling, and my husband, he does do certain things and just looks out for me. And we were going through, and the TSA said, ma'am, you forgot your bag. And I said, oh, I'm married to a good man. He's just putting it on his bag. And the guy just almost was shocked that my husband would actually grab my bag and do that for me. And I wasn't trying to be in his face, but I didn't forget my bag. I didn't have to remember my bag. And if I can do that and let my husband do that, instead of saying, I got it, I'm capable, then, you know, we're on the good end. If he wants to do a few things for us like that, a good rule of thumb to ask yourself, did I skip it? Am I right? Did I skip? No, I did. I'm sorry. I skipped. Number two, show respect to your husband both publicly and privately. Now, this is an area that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but I want us to realize that showing respect is a big thing. It is said that a husband would rather be respected than loved. You know, oftentimes we'll be talking in public and maybe the husband got the story off. Maybe it was on a Thursday, not a Friday, or maybe it was only 4 hours and he said six, and we'll correct that. What does it matter? Does it really matter if it was Thursday or Friday? Does it really matter if it was 4 or 6 hours? Does it really matter what state it was in? Or if it was 9 at night or 11 at night? It really doesn't. And so we need to stop correcting our husbands in public, in front of the children. We didn't say we would do it that way, or I already told the kids they could. And that disrespect and that putting him down is making your man who you really don't want him to be. I could give you a personal example, or an example of someone that I know, let me say it that way, of someone that loves their husband dearly, but they put him down so many times that he can't even speak for himself. How sad is that? That's very sad. Don't let it be said of us that we would do that over the years. Now, if your husband wants you to do a certain thing, please do that. Some husbands pay the bills, some wives pay the bills. It doesn't matter to me. The person that's better at that needs to do that. But I'm talking about public and private respect. A good rule of thumb to ask yourself is this: is what I'm about to say or do going to come across to him as respectful or disrespectful? Respectful or disrespectful. Number three, allow your husband to lead your home. You said, that's a little crazy wording, isn't it? I know, but it's true, isn't it? Allow your husband to lead your home. You know, we're made spread your fingers as far apart as you can spread them. Just make it as tight and far. Did you know you can go in that many directions and you can keep it all going and bring it back in? But your husband can't. He's like, what, I was reading. Did you just call my name? Well, what did you say? The same thing I said yesterday, which you know. They can't. They're not made like that. God did not make them like that. That's why we're a fit. But if we're not careful, we take, as he referred to yesterday, this operating system that we are, and it becomes a put down. And if it becomes a put down, then he can't operate at all. He becomes a shutdown. So he's like, I will come in and I will get in the chair and I will tune out to the news, or I will. And you're like, well, why aren't you helping me? I'm not helping you because I can't do it right. I'm not helping you because you put me down in front of the children. I'm not helping you because I can't even clean the table off in a way that is right. So what? Go by that good rule of thumb. You'll have to ask yourself later. And then allow your husband to lead. If you're not satisfied with your husband's leadership, now we're going to go through these quickly, but I want you to have them written down so you can think about it. If you're not satisfied with your husband's leadership, ask yourself these questions. Number one, did my husband ever try to lead in our marriage, but I stepped in? You're going to have to give some thought to that. Number two, do I send him a message that I do not intend to follow him, or if he makes a decision contrary to what I believe is correct, that I'm not going to follow? Next, do I want my husband to be responsible, but if he is irresponsible in my opinion, I exercise veto power? Do my words and actions communicate, you are responsible, but I have the authority? Let me stop right here and just say one thing. Most trouble in the local church begins in the home with the wife. And it carries to the church. And the man, bless his heart, he knows it's against the pastor, but you know what? He's caught between, we call it in the South, a rock and a hard place. Because if he supports his pastor and it's against his wife, who does he have to live with? Shame on us for ever putting our husbands in that spot. Allow your husband to lead your home. Does my husband have to ignore me to be in charge? You say, well, I don't know what he's going to say when he gets up, or he didn't tell me he was going to do that. It might be that he has to ignore you to be in charge because you're going to correct him. I'm talking to me. I have a strong personality. I am that fourth woman. You know, I'm not that little girl. I wouldn't even write in my children's baby books when we got married and had children 4.5 years later because I might do it wrong. The first time that we got a microwave, I thought, well, I won't be able to cook because I might not operate it right. I am not that woman. I don't know who she is, but I got it now. You know what I'm saying? And we have to watch that. Does my husband have to ignore me? Do I possibly have an attitude of self-righteousness? Now, these are questions you can't answer and listen right now in this session. So I'm going to ask you to think about these, maybe in your devotional life later as you're going along. Number 4, understand his heart as he analyzes and seeks to solve your problems. Understand his heart. See, my husband wants to fix things for me, and I just want to talk about it. His heart is to make it right for me. But you know what? We were talking about something. It's happened over and over. But this one particular situation, I was not even to the car after work one day, and I was just telling him about this situation. Before he opened my car door to let me in, he already gave me an answer. I said, I'm not through talking about it. I'm not done. And besides that, I don't even want your answer because you're not going to fix it like I want it fixed. So all I want is your ear. I just want you to listen. But, you know, we have to understand that he analyzes and he tries to fix. That's who God made him to be. He wants that help. And see, that is an energy flow for him. Thank him for his advice without acting insulted. Thank him for that advice without acting insulted. It's like, are you kidding me? I talk to you. You want to give me an answer with God made him like that. Now, maybe he needs to learn to listen, but maybe I need to learn to listen. Remember, we can't fix him. Recognize his problem-solving approach as his male brand of empathy. See, it's different than that female that comes over and has tea with you. It's so different. Well, recognize that male brand of empathy. Number 5, understand his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Now, we're going to illustrate this one. So I want two girls that are maybe about 30 years old, that their husbands love sports, and you're kind of in that active mode and you're talkative. I need you two. Okay, one. Give me another one. Don't even tell me you're shy. Okay, come on up. I got two. And okay, come on up, you two. And then I need two chairs. I need two chairs up here on the stage. Okay. All right, come on up. Come on down. You are the next contestants, and there is not even a prize. Okay, come on up. Take a chair. Okay, we are going to illustrate shoulder-to-shoulder friendship first. Now, okay, they've already started. What's your name?
Tracy.
Laura. Okay, Tracy and Laura. Do y'all know each other already?
No.
Oh, this is cool. And they've already talked, so it's pretty cool. Okay, Tracy and Laura are going to illustrate how men enjoy fellowship. Okay, so you're both men. Okay, now use your imagination, girls. We have two men sitting here. What football fan are you?
Patriots.
Alabama.
Okay.
I don't think, can they play each other?
No. That's
a professional team and this is college. So you have a college team? Don't worry. Pretend you do.
I don't care. You have a professional.
I don't care what team it is, but you're watching a football game together.
Got it.
Okay. Now, I want you to, Clemson, oh boy. Here we go. You got it. They're SEC too, aren't they? I'm in name only. I'm a Bama fan in name only. Don't ask me who the coach is. Just go Crimson. I don't know. Okay. I don't even care. I don't. Okay. Go. Watch the game. You're watching the game together. Okay, now watch this. Okay, watch this. Somebody tell me out loud what you just saw. Somebody tell me something. Say it again. I'm sorry. Screaming at the TV. What did you say over here? Male bonding. What did you say? I'm sorry. They don't talk to each other. They talk to that TV screen. Did you see that? Now, you know when they leave this night of eating popcorn and it's all over the ground and their soda cans are everywhere and unless their wife was involved and that's like, don't get it on the carpet, right? But you know what they're going to say? They're going to get to church the next day and they're going to say, we had a great time. I mean, it was now, I know if I have given them 30 minutes, they still wouldn't have had an intimate conversation because that's how males bond. They are literally shoulder to shoulder. Okay? Now, I want you to be girls. Turn your chairs to face each other. All right. There's a little table. Did you see they have afternoon tea down there? I so missed that yesterday, and I wanted to go. I mean, isn't that fun? It's like, oh! That's just so intimate. I love it. Okay, so you all have come to this nice little whatever you like, and you haven't seen each other in a while, but you know each other from the past, and you're catching up. Go. You know what just happened here? Female bonding. Now let me tell you about, you tell me about female bonding. What just happened? Say it loud. They talked to each other. Affection. They looked eye to eye. They didn't go watch a game. They didn't want a game in the picture. Now, that doesn't mean you don't ever enjoy that, but I mean, I'm illustrating to the, you know, far edges to see. So, they talked about intimate things, hair, nails. They even, did y'all realize already they matched each other? And I mean, what do we do? And like, oh, I got this for $8. My husband's like, if you wouldn't tell people that, it would look, I said, I want to, I like it. You know, it's just so good. You go and you, and then, if we had gone on and on, they would have talked about family. Right? Isn't that what we do? But you know what, ladies? And let me say this, while they're looking at each other, and while the man situations were like they were, I can't prove this. I don't even care what the statistics are. This is my opinion. I really think women marry women and men marry men, not for the sexual aspect, but for this right here. I really believe it. Because a woman wants to go home to somebody that's just like, and I'm not condoning it. I'm totally like 100% like way against it, you know, biblically. We know that. But I'm telling you, this world doesn't get that. And they want somebody that'll listen. And a man wants somebody that understands like he does, because this is what's happened. Turn your chair to face forward. Turn your chair totally to your husband. Oh, this is our husband. Sorry. This is who you married, okay? You didn't marry somebody that looks at you. You married somebody that faces out, that thinks this way and we think this way. If you did marry your companion and not your opposite in personality, you married your opposite anyway in male and female. So what are you going to do about that? Get busy.
Oh. I'm a cheer as loud as
keep going. Keep
going.
There you go. Now, when this happens and the woman gets all in, it causes the man to turn a little bit. Don't expect him to turn all the way. And don't even want all his, don't you want your husband to have a friend? I mean, a man needs that. I'm not saying he needs it every day after work. If that's the case, if he's going out with the guys every day after work, he needs an adjustment. And I'm not saying that, okay? I'm talking normal situations, okay? So give these ladies a hand. Thank you, ladies. So with that in mind, understand his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Number 6, and we have to move because our time is basically up. We'll finish. Meet his need through sexual intimacy. Oh, I didn't give you the blanks, did I? Tell your husband you like him and show it. You like him. That was illustrated. Respond to his invitation to engage in recreational activities together or go along to watch. And we could talk about this thing, every one of these we could talk about for 20 or 30 minutes. Number 6, meet his need through sexual intimacy. Let me give you these points, and then I'll just say a couple of words. Realize your husband's sexuality is much different than yours. Realize that it is much different than yours. He has needs in a different way than you have, and then appreciate your husband's sexual desire for you. 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, defraud ye not the one the other, except it be with the consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And you're like, okay, I'm going to fast and pray a lot. No, that's not what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. If your husband came home, and some of you in a group this size, I dare say it's happened, and I'm not saying it to hurt, but it may have happened to you that your husband has been unfaithful. If he is coming home to you, be thankful. You say, well, I'm busy. Don't be too busy. Don't say no. And I ain't kidding. Don't say no. You say, well, my kids and my life and this, yes, but be there for your man. Let's try not to have the holiest, ugliest pajamas on every day for 4 days that we didn't wash because we're saving on the wash, because the woman he works with doesn't look like that, and you've heard that before, but is it true? You might be that woman that works in the world, and you're the one that dresses up and you know that man that's hurting, don't turn his eye. Because the grass is not greener. It is never, ever greener. There is no perfect man amongst us all. Every one of us are ordinary people married to ordinary men with ordinary problems. And we have to work at our marriage. I can only tell you, seriously, to 40 years. But I know up to 40 years I've got a man that needs me. And he needs me in this area. And I don't want him to go looking at you. And that's just down to earth where the rubber meets the road. So what are we going to do about it? No, we're not going to go around and talk about all our little intimacies and secrets. That's not the fix. But the fix is behind closed doors. What only you and your husband know. Understand that he needs sexual intimacy just as you need emotional intimacy. See, we want to sit down and cuddle on the couch and just rest and listen to Lawrence Welk and fall asleep. I'm sorry, I'm at HGTV. And fall asleep. And then we just want to get up and go to bed. And that's not what cuddling on the couch does for him, is it? But we married a man that sees it different. And we can't change him. But I tell you what we can do. We can change us to look his way and to be what he needs to be and to make our marriage as much a heaven on earth as is possible. So what are we going to do about it, ladies? It is your responsibility to tighten the weave of your marriage. I can't tighten the weave for you. You can't tighten the weave for me. I don't know your man and all the little idiosyncrasies you deal with, and you don't know mine. But I know this. I know them, and I can tighten the weave. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you that we have a husband and that each one of us have the abilities to work on this marriage. Thank you for marriage. Thank you for that you made man for woman and woman for man, and help us to be the helpmeet pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.